Chihuahua.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did we wake you?
No, 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 no. You didn't. I've been up for hours.
It's time to get up.
Get up, Bambi. Get up.
Hey, I don't make the rules.
You must get up. Get up. Get up.
But while you're here, you might as well keep listening. You're tuned in to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hi, everybody. 7:11 in the morning.
You got a friend in me.
You do.
You got a
this hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Oh, my gosh. Did you see driving in this morning what was in the parking lot? Did you pay attention to what's in the parking lot? Come on.
You just remember what your past is.
Domati, did you see what was in the parking lot when you came in this morning?
I think I saw some Christmas trees.
Two Chevy trucks, a red one and a white one, with Christmas trees strapped to the roof. That was so cool. I took a picture of it. And it was under the lights, and they were all sparkling clean. That's a Christmas right there, man. They look beautiful. I think it was part of the Toys for Tots toy collection they were doing yesterday with... Apple Chevrolet and the Rokan show yesterday. So, isn't that cool?
It's very early when I come in the morning. I'm not really.
It is early. I know it's early.
But the road.
Good morning. Good morning, Domati. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you. I'm good.
Nice to see you this morning.
I thought you were behind the trees, by the way, because we were talking last week about real versus.
Right?
Yeah, versus artificial trees. I said Lou brought some examples for us.
No, it was beautiful. I love a good real tree. I mean, I wish we could do it, but we don't. It's artificial because of our son being allergic. But that looks great. It looks great.
Looks good. Got really me excited for Christmas.
Yeah, I'm excited. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. The Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. Coming up today, I'm excited about this. We're going to talk to Marcus Reedy, who's the co-founder of a company called the Roosevelt Room. They're the ones that are building that pop-up bar from It's a Wonderful Life that's going to be at Fitzgerald's. And it all starts Wednesday on December 6th. So we're going to talk about how they do this, why they do this. I'm curious as to what it costs to put something like this together. And from a business perspective, your return on the investment. I'm just excited because I love It's a Wonderful Life. And I think that all the people, I know it's completely sold out. Reservations are booked. But it's going to be a lot of fun for a lot of people. Then, in our new Tulu 2 segment that we do every Saturday morning, we have some really fun holiday gift ideas. Lindsay and I were shooting some video that go along with it that you can also see as well. But that's going to come up four different items that are unique, are handy, and affordable. Really, right, Lindsay? I mean, there's, affordable. There's nothing. One item is $60.
But it's a... But it's, I mean, it should be 60.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. I mean, it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. But everything else is under that. And a couple of them are stocking stuffers, super affordable, which I think you're going to really like. And then our Binny's Holiday Wine Tasting Time will be coming up at 9:20 this morning. So we'll be tasting some wines from Binny's as well. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Jim in Huntley. Jim, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, and if I can, you know, solve this problem, then I'll go to Binny's and have some something to enjoy.
All right.
My house was built in 2006, and actually it was late fall of 2005.
Okay.
I have some can fixtures. I have put LED floods in the can fixture. What happens is they will come on bright, then they will go dim, then they'll get bright again, then they'll go dim, and they go through this cycle, and there's no specific time between when they cycle dim. Sometimes they cycle off completely. I even went to I replaced one can thinking maybe I had a defective can. Didn't change the problem. I also tried the floods in a regular lamp, and floods did the same thing. So I can't figure out what the problem is.
Okay. So the actual body of the can lights, the body of, that's the original 2005?
One of them is, yes. And another one, I replaced.
Okay. The light, the LEDs that you put in there, you put in like a PAR 30 bulb, like a similar looking bulb that's now LED that you just screwed into the fixture.
Correct. I have one here in front of me, so I don't see where there's a number on here.
Okay. And are those can lights the switches on a dimmer?
They are not.
They're not. And who's the manufacturer of these lights?
The one I'm looking at happens to be GE.
So you screw them in there. It's just a switch. And when you turn it on, it turns on and then it flickers and it doesn't quite work right.
Correct.
Yeah. There's something wrong with those bulbs. Especially you said you put it in a lamp, right? And was the lamp... Same problem. There's something wrong with those bulbs.
All right. Well,
here's what I would do. The only reason I ask you about the dimmer is the thing that confuses people a lot and where they get this problem normally is that okay. Now let me ask you this. The fact that you put it in a lamp and it did the same thing. That's a direct line. There's no restriction on a lamp at all on a lamp socket. So a lot of times what happens is if you have a dimmer that's not a universal dimmer set up on a fixture like that with an LED, that's where you can get some of this wonkiness in how the bulb performs. Now, I will tell you this. One of the things that could improve, first of all, if you still have the receipt of wherever you bought this bulb, I would go and exchange them for something else. At Ace, they have the GEs as well, but the Fight is a big supplier of them. They also carry a couple of bulbs. One is called Greenline, and the other one's called Max, I believe. I've used those throughout my home and have had zero issue. With the LED can lights, if you want, you know, they do make an LED trim kit where you replace the trim itself, and they give you an adapter where you screw into the light bulb, and it's a little wire adapter with a plug. Then you plug in the new trim. Then the LED is in the housing, and it's covered with a lens. And that gives you more brightness. And if you decide to put it on a dimmer, you get a really nice control out of it for the dimmers. Mm-hmm. But the bulbs that you are using, are they dimmable bulbs?
I don't know.
Not sure. Yeah. I think there's something wrong with those bulbs, and I would change them out, try it. The only other thing, the switches that operate these lights, you have one or two. Is it set up on a three-way?
The one I tried it in is a single switch. The other one was a dual.
And the single switch only controls that particular device?
Correct.
Okay. The only other thing I could think of, you said 2005. You could try changing out the switch, but again, it's a direct current to it. It shouldn't be an issue.
Okay. Well, I will.
My guess is you got bad bulbs.
Okay.
All right. Hey, do me a favor, Jim, since you're our first caller, I've got a, how much is that worth? Really? You know how he said if we get this fixed, he's going to go to Binny's? I'm going to send you a $50 gift certificate to Binny's.
Oh, thank you very
much. How about that? That, you know what? And then if you spend all that, you put stuff, the light will flicker and you won't care. Hold on a second. It's 7:19 in the morning. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show. My name's Lou Manfredini. We'll be right back.
Good morning. Let's return now to the Mr. Fix-It Show with our guy, Lou Manfredini. You are listening to Chicago's very own 720 WGN. You
belong among 7:23 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show. This is Gene in Des Plaines. Hello, Gene. Hello, Gene. All right, am I hitting Gene here? Gene. I'm going to put Gene on hold. How about Hubert in Lakeview, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. You always have a great program. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. How can I help you, sir?
Lou, I was cutting down a tree in my backyard. One of the limbs hit the power line. and pulled the mounting bracket off of my building.
Okay.
And it also damaged the siding. I have aluminum and siding. I called the line comes from the alley. It's about 75 feet coming from the alley into the back of my home.
Okay.
I called AT&T. They said it's more of a ComEd problem. I called ComEd. They said the bracket is not part of their equipment.
Right.
So I called my electrician. He says, it seems like you're going to have to call a person who deals with siding, he said, because he doesn't have the equipment to hold that line. He said that line is very heavy, and you have to hold that line, remove that bracket, repair the siding, and put the bracket back on, and then reattach the line. Now, the line is not broke or anything. I still have power to the house.
Right.
So
okay, so, okay, hold on a second. So right now, the bracket is completely off?
Yes.
And so it's just pulling on the wires?
Yes.
Okay. So here's what has to happen, Hubert, and you have to kind of do this in quick order. In order for that bracket to be mounted, typically how this happens is an electrician will mount the bracket, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then when ComEd comes and puts their drop on, they hook it to there. But that wire is hot. And so what has to happen is you got to coordinate this with ComEd to have the electrician there to put the bracket on, a new bracket, or maybe the old bracket. But they got to disconnect the electric power because the electrician can't do. ComEd's the one that will connect to the bracket. Okay, they won't screw the bracket to your home, but they will connect to the bracket. But they are responsible for that drop to that line. Okay,
mm-hmm.
This you can't let this go any further. So your electrician, the bracket was over the top of the siding.
Yes.
Hmm. And is the bracket still there?
Yes.
All right. Where are you in? You're in Lakeview.
Yes.
All right. Lindsay, I need the phone number for Cobblestone Development. Cobblestone, my friend Bill Conforti, they do exterior siding, windows. I mean, this is a small repair job. They could probably mount this bracket for you, but mm-hmm. that bracket needs to be done in conjunction with ComEd literally being there at the same time.
Okay, so this outfit plus ComEd has to be there where they fix the siding and mount the bracket?
Yeah. I mean, they probably can fix the siding. I mean, without seeing it, they might be able to fix the siding and put the bracket on, but that wire is hot. Then ComEd has to come and reconnect that drop to the bracket. That's their responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
They won't drill it to the home, but they'll connect to the bracket. You have a pen or a pencil?
Yes. My thing is that this siding company now this line is still connected to the bracket, and the bracket is being supported by the gutter. It pulled off, but it's behind the gutter.
Right. It sounds like it's a mess, and we got to fit. But the point is, for the safety of the men or women working on the side of the house, that's mm-hmm. number one, is because that electrical line is hot and it's, you know, you got to be very careful working around that. Right. Now, I don't necessarily know that this is right up Cobblestone's alley, but they're in your neighborhood and they might be able to help you out.
Okay. Let me have that.
Ready?
What's the name of the company?
Cobblestone Development.
Cobblestone.
773-661-0606. And you tell them I told you to call.
Okay, 773-661-0606.
Yes.
Cobblestone Development. I'm going to mention your name.
You got it. Good luck to you, sir.
Thank you.
Listen, you got to get this done because as the winter approaches right now, this is pulling on those connection points on the wire. They're not designed to hold the drop, and so it's eventually going to pull away, and you're going to lose power, and then you got hot lines in the backyard.
Yeah, I don't understand why ComEd wouldn't, you know, I guess because I mentioned the bracket is loose.
Correct. Yeah. But this is a hazard waiting to happen.
Well, if I get this cobblestone development company over here, would they contact ComEd to come out here?
They may. They're not electricians, but based on how you're describing it, this bracket and everything, that needs to get hooked up first. And so, you know, perhaps it could be coordinated, but let's see what happens, okay?
Yeah, well, the siding has to be fixed.
Correct, right. You've got a couple different things going on. They may come and say, Hubert, we'll fix the siding and everything, but then your electrician has to put the bracket on because they don't want the responsibility of the bracket holding the drop. You know, typically it's the electrician that mounts the bracket.
No, I have no problem with that.
Yeah. But the siding has to get fixed, and so that's how I would proceed. Thank you so much for the phone call, and good luck with that.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini, a.k.a. the Mr. Fix-It Show. He got the tools on Chicago's very own 720. He got the tools, WGN.
Welcome back. 7:37 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. All right. Let's go to the phone lines. Here's Gene in Des Plaines. Gene, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, great, because before you couldn't. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about furnace liners. I had a few, about a month and a half ago, my heat wasn't working, and I called somebody to fix it, and it turned out that I had a burst in the motor. So there was everything okay with the furnace, but I called the company because I figured I needed a cover over my chimney. When they came out, they went downstairs and they looked at my furnace and my water heater, and they said that I needed a liner. So I called another three companies to get estimates and also concrete slab by the roof was cracked. So I called three companies to get estimates, and the second company came out, and they determined that I needed a liner. The third one came out. He didn't even look at that, and he didn't say anything about the liner. The fourth one came out, and I asked him, and he looked, and he said, it depends on the appliance. So he looked at my appliances, so the furnace and the water heater, and he said that I didn't need a liner, that the appliances were good enough for the chimney that I have that didn't need a liner. It's 7 inches. I'm so confused now. That's why I'm calling you. Please
okay. Okay. Let me ask you this, Gene. The furnace that you have and the water heater, how new are they? When did those get installed?
Okay. The furnace I have 10 years, and the water heater I have about 5.
Okay, and that furnace that you have is a conventional furnace that is vented into the chimney.
Right.
And how old is your home?
Oh, the home is old, and I lived here for 45 years.
Okay.
And I never had that problem, and I never knew about those.
Right. Okay. Now, with modern conventional furnaces like you have, you know, 80, what they call an 80% furnace, you almost always need to put a liner in when that goes into a traditional brick chimney. The reason is it's much more efficient than the one you had 25 years ago. And so it doesn't create enough heat that when it's really cold outside, the venting can't escape well enough, and it creates moisture in the chimney, which is why you could be getting water down in the bottom of this. Now you
but
also
I don't get any water.
You don't get any.
No.
So what is the reasoning that the topic of the chimney liner came up?
Well, because the people that I called, the chimney company that I called to put the cover over my chimney because of the birds.
Oh, I see.
Told me I needed one.
Okay. All right. Now, you also mentioned that the concrete on the top of your chimney is cracked.
Right.
Okay.
Well, that I have to fix. Yes.
Okay. So you're not getting any water.
No.
All right. And did anybody say if you have a clay liner in the, a clay lining in your chimney at all? Did anybody say that?
Yeah, I believe the last guy that was there, he said that it's a clay liner. He took a picture of it, actually, and it says 7 inches, and he said that's all I needed.
Right. It's still the problem is that, here's the thing. How old is the furnace? 10 years old?
10 years old.
Yeah. You're not getting any water in the chimney. You're just getting birds.
Well, I'm not going to get any birds anymore either because I have a cover now.
Okay. And you've had no problem with any kind of moisture. When you look outside at your chimney, do you see any powdery efflorescence on the, is it the brick? Is it brick on the outside?
Yes.
Do you see any of that at the top?
Well, he took pictures. The last guy that was here, he took pictures, and there is like greenish stuff on the brick. And he said that needs to be washed or whatever.
Right, but the green stuff is just mildew and mold. You don't. How and Gene, is your home a single story or two story home?
It's two story. That's why I asked everybody that came out to take pictures because obviously I can't go up on the roof.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. In a perfect world, you would have a liner, in my opinion. However, if you're not seeing any evidence of that efflorescence, what I want you to do when we get off the phone is go out there and look around from the ground and look. And, you know, if you have anybody that's got a pair of binoculars, that would help, too. If you see any powdery white substance on the surface of the brick, like in the last 2 feet of the chimney, that efflorescence can be caused by moisture buildup in the chimney as it's trying to evacuate when the furnace is running. But if you don't see that, and we're not getting any problem with any water in the system, and you do also, Gene, have working smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors,
yes,
correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes.
Then you can probably get away without a liner. And the reason I say that is you've got a 10-year-old furnace. In about 5 years, the conversation of replacing the furnace is going to start to happen because it's going to be 15 years old. When that happens, then I want you to consider doing what's called a direct vent, a high-efficiency furnace, and that'll get vented out of the side of the house, and you won't even use the chimney.
Okay.
Capiche?
Capiche.
Right?
Thank you so much.
You got it, Gene. I appreciate you calling this morning. I hope that helped a little bit. 7:43 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. The Mr. Fix-It Show, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go.
That's where we are.
Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in the city.
7:49 in the morning.
The sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty, how can you lose?
Let's wait for the hug.
The lights are much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles.
We're broadcasting from the WGN studios, which are...
Downtown.
Yep.
Things will all right. I see what you did there. Which are...
Okay, I've got really fun new Toulouse twos for you that if you're thinking about a couple of these are great stocking stuffers, and I'll give you more information about that. But first, take a listen to these holiday gift ideas.
Ho, ho, ho. The holiday spirit is in the air, and you know what that means. Presents. I love shopping for people. I love searching the web or stores or different gift idea segments on TV to help inspire me to find the right gift for the right person. That's why we put together a bunch of New to Lou 2 items, or New to Santa 2 items, to help you find a unique gift for just about anyone. Some are related to the home, some aren't, but they're all pretty fun. first is for the hairy person in your life. Nobody likes a clogged drain, whether sink, shower, or bathtub. But hey, if you've got a lot of hair like me, it's bound to happen.
Ow!
Tub Shroom is a plug that fits inside your drain, neatly collecting hair around it. When it's time to clean up, you just wipe the Tub Shroom off and go. No harsh chemicals or costly plumber bills. On top of the Tub Shroom, they also offer the Shower Shroom and the Sink Shroom. So come on, shroom with me. This would make a great stocking stuffer. Available for $12.99 on tubshroom.com. Next, who has a dirty tushy?
What?
Good morning, everyone. While you eat your cornflakes, let me tell you about the tushy, a classic bidet attachment that washes your bum with a refreshing stream of clean water after you, well, you know.
Gross!
The kit includes everything you need for an easy install in under 10 minutes. Did you know the U.S. spends more than $6 billion on toilet paper each year? When you use Tushy, you are cutting your toilet paper usage down by 80%. Flush your poop, not your money. And find out more at tushy.me. The Air Innovations Tulip is a travel-sized portable humidifier that looks literally like a tulip. It's USB-powered and runs up to 2 hours before automatically shutting down. They come in fun colors, and you just stick them in a cup of water and let them run. Great for hotel rooms or cubicles. $19.95, available at Bed Bath & Beyond and online at air-innovations.com. And lastly, a great stocking stuffer for the DIYer in your life, or anyone who likes to try and fix everything themselves. Sugru Moldable Glue. Out of the pack, Sugru Moldable Glue is soft and malleable, like Play-Doh, kind of. Roll the material in your fingers, press it where you need it, and mold it by hand into any shape. From an ultra-thin patch to a shock-absorbing bumper, you have 30 minutes to shape it, smooth it, and reposition it as required. Sugru.com, $11.99. To see just how these products work and actually what they look like, you can check out Lou's Facebook page. We put together a fun little video of all today's products, and we'll continue to feature more gift ideas each week through Christmas. That's this week's New to Lose 2.
We have the video up, which will give you an opportunity to see a lot of these products. I love the Tub Shroom for people with hair in the drain. That's a huge problem. You can use this anywhere. You pop it in, it grabs the hair. You still have to grab all the hair out, which is gross, but at least the drain. I can't stand being in a shower that doesn't drain.
That's ugh, gross. Yeah.
Grosses me out. Absolutely does. You'll love that. The Tushy.
Say it
we
again.
Tushy. Because it makes Tushy.
I know you like to say
it. It makes me giggle. And I just love saying that word because it's not a word I say all the time. Tushy. When do you say that?
I
mean,
say it a
maybe
lot.
When our kids
girls.
Were little. Yeah, when the kids
where's
were little.
Tush.
Yeah, I don't think I never said that. Tushy. Is that, what is Tushy? Like, what's the origin of that word? Tush. Is it a Yiddish term?
Maybe,
Tushy?
Yeah.
It sounds Yiddish.
That's a good question. Let's see.
All right. So. It is a screw-on.
Yiddish.
It's Yiddish.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. It's a screw-on bidet. You pop the toilet seat off. It's a very simple design. You put it in there. The easiest installation goes right to the water source of your toilet. Now, my only concern with that one is it's cold water on your tushy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Love a good bidet. But they have a hot water version, which you said on their videos on their website are super funny.
And they're just really like they have like
they're
one
cheeky.
Here. If a bird pooped on you, would you wipe it? No, you'd wash it off.
Yeah. Did you get what I did? You see what it are?
Oh, cheeky.
See what
get
I
it.
Did there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I love the Tushy, $60. The Air Innovations Tulip Ultrasonic Humidifier is the go-to gift. That is for anybody working in an office. You could plug it into your computer. You can take it when you travel, and you don't need a separate container. The glass that they give you in the hotel room, you fill it with water. You stick this tulip in there. You plug it in next to your bed. Now your room is humidified, and you're going to sleep so much more comfortably. I love this one. And then the Sugru, this malleable silly putty. The example is this. The charging cord for your phone that has broken at the end, it's all frayed. I fixed one of Lindsay's that was super frayed, and it's like a design flaw by Apple. They need to fix this. The Sugru in all these different colors, for the handy person, stocking stuffer, they're not going to know what it is. You put it in the stocking, they're going to think it's the greatest thing ever. I'm telling you, It's so cool. So go to my Facebook page. You can see the video up there as well. And there's links and all the information on finding these cool ideas for the holiday season. All right, it's 7:55 in the morning. Quick break, and we'll get back to your phone calls right after these. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Jim in Three Oaks, Michigan. Jim, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
Good, sir. How can I help you?
Okay. I have a, this is in pertaining to a bathroom fixture in my tub. I have a Moen Positemp fixture that we all of a sudden lost like about 70% of our volume and pressure of water.
Okay.
So we pulled the cartridge out and actually called Moen, and they actually sent me a new one and put it back in, and we just get nothing. It's actually getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of at a loss. I actually pulled the cartridge out and hooked the hose up to like where the cartridge would go, so I would have like a full free flow of water.
Mm-hmm.
And I have great pressure. When I put that cartridge in, I have like nothing. It takes like 16 seconds to fill up 16 ounces of water.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so when you take the cartridge out, and when you put the cartridge in, there's no pressure on either the hot or the cold side?
I have hot and cold water, but there's no
volume of water.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
But if I take the cartridge out and I turn the water on, it'll blast water like crazy.
Exactly.
Hmm. And does the new cartridge slide in really easily?
Yep. And it gives you the silicone, the waterproof silicone.
Right. So all that, the installation of that is fine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I've actually gone through two of them, and I have the same problem. So I thought maybe there might be something plugged, like in the water passage.
This is a tub shower combination.
Correct.
And it's no. And if you pull the shower, it's not like you have pressure there either.
No. And when you pull the diverter up, I mean, it won't even hold because
oh, I see. Because it's not about the water. So you must have. Okay. So I'd take that cartridge back out. You'll see a bunch of different. Holes in that diverter, in the housing of the diverter. Then you need to take a small little flexible. You know what baling wire is?
Yep.
I need something thinner than baling wire. That's like
and
a
little. I've done that, and I've actually made something up on my own. Put a little. Plastic hose and hooked it up to some air to blow through, see if there's any obstruction in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really tell. I can get some air, you know. I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss with it. Just at the point where I'm going to have to take the valve out.
Don't take the valve out. Take the spout off of the tub so that you.
Right. I done that.
And you've got a little copper pipe there.
Yep.
Okay. Can you put anything with air on there to blow it that way? Go back the other way.
Yep. I
did all that.
I did. Did all that. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. I have access to get the top and the line going up to the shower.
There's some piece of sediment stuck inside that unit somewhere. If you've got pressure on both sides, then then there's something stuck within the valve body, some piece of calcium or something that's inside there. The other thing I would try is, with the cartridge off, take some CLR in a spray bottle, full strength, and blow it, spray it into the housing. Spray it up and down, spray it up and down. Let it sit there for like 30 minutes or so, and spray it again, and then let it sit for a total of an hour to try and break out any of the sediment that might be in there. That valve body is very simple. It's just a bunch of ports. There's nothing there. If you've got pressure without in there, there's some clog. My guess is from the port that leads from the valve body to the spout, which isn't giving you enough pressure to throw it back up the other side. I mean, if all of that else fails, then you have to replace the valve body, which doesn't make any sense. Appreciate the phone call.
All right, hold on a second. Why didn't that want to work? Ready, and...
You're tuned in to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:09 in the morning, this hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by Fox Home Center and by PermaSeal Basement Systems. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Gary's in Westmont. Gary, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can I help you, sir?
Well, I was wondering, I have entrance to the attic up on my second floor.
Okay.
And right now I got the typical wood, the insulation above it, and plastic. Have they come out with any other material that you can just put it up there? It's easier, so when you go up there, you just one piece you have to move out of the way.
Yep.
It's pretty good R insulation.
Yep. What they have now, I believe Owens Corning makes it. They actually have a sleeve. So, in other words, how do you? Is it a pull down stairs or something?
No, it's just a. I got a piece like a 3x3
plywood that you move out of the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you get all that other stuff above it. And,
yeah.
You know,
so what? I'm trying to think how you can make this work with this. I mean, I guess it would work. It would just be a little. How often do you go up there?
Hardly ever.
Okay. So what they have, then this will work perfectly for you. It's essentially. Have you ever seen the insulation, the foil insulation that's kind of looks like it's, it's got a little texture to it. They use it to wrap ductwork in commercial ductwork and whatnot.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, they have that. It's more like a fabric, and it has Velcro on it, and it wraps around that opening, and it has it raises up like, you know, say 12 or 14 inches. And then there's a little top on it with a piece of Velcro that you open like a door. And then you close and you Velcro it. So where this is a perfect thing is if you have pull down stairs, you pull down the stairs. And then when you go up there, you just lift this little hatch up and you go. I believe Owens Corning makes this. And and they come in different sizes. So for you, because you don't go up there that often with that piece, you would have to slide it up a little higher to get up over this thing, and then you just lift the thing up and go. That's probably the easiest application. Is this opening in a hallway or in a closet?
Hallway.
It's a hallway.
And I've only got one return, and it's probably about 5 feet from the return for the whole upstairs.
For even a cold air return.
Right.
Would you ever consider installing a pair of drop down stairs?
Yeah, I thought about it, but I'm thinking all the work, and you know, it's got the entrance where it is. It's right next to two doors, and so I don't know if I could really get a pull down up there without doing some cutting of the pull down. You know, I think it might be too big. I mean, the stairs would hit the wall.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's kind of narrow up where it is.
I see. The nice thing about those stairs is it's all right there, and there's some versions of them, Gary, that are not traditional in the sense that, you know, you pull it down and then they fold out and then they fold out. They have some now nicer ones that are telescopic.
Oh, okay.
So they come down straight down, and you don't need as much of a run, you know, from where it comes down.
Oh, that'd be ideal. Yeah.
And those cost a little bit more, but they're more in tune with smaller spaces. And you know, as we get older, it's all about making our life easier, because right now you got to drag a ladder up from the basement, and
right.
I guarantee you, you're not using the right size ladder when you do that.
No,
you're putting a 6 foot step ladder up there, and you're stepping on the top step.
Right. Now, on aluminum or wood?
It's aluminum.
So it's easy to put up.
So it's easy to put up, and then that I believe it's not called attic cat, but it's called something like attic sleeve or attic, might be attic cat, but Owens Corning. Attic insulated door or something like that. If you search that out, and you can find those, and a little bit of work to put it in, but when you're done, it's just going to make your life so much easier. And then from an insulation standpoint, then you just drop those stairs down, you go up, you lift the door up, you go up there if you need to, and you pull it back down. It seals up that opening much better because it's got a curb all the way around after you install it, and I think you'll be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, well, thanks. Yeah, because that's a big opening. It's almost like 3 foot by 3 foot.
Yeah, No, they do make it, and I think you'll find that it works pretty well. Gary, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you so much, and good luck with that project. This is Justin in Rockland. Justin, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. How are you doing?
Good, sir. Good, sir. How can I help you?
I've got a question about painting the inside of a pole barn. I have a 50 by 60 wood frame pole barn, metal siding. It's got some drywall on the inside, like 8 foot up. And I'm going to hire it out, just spray it all white and make it look nice and new. But there are signs of some discoloration, mold on the drywall. I'm wondering if there's something I should do to prep that before I have it painted.
Yes.
So it doesn't bleed through.
Okay, so it's pole barn. It's uninsulated, correct?
No, it's insulated. Not real well, but it is insulated.
So is the pole barn insulated all the way up, and then you just have a drywall that goes up 8 feet and stops?
Correct.
Okay, and where that drywall is on those openings, it's open on top of the drywall, right? It doesn't return in. You just see the insulation keeps going up?
It'd be the top plate of the wall that they build, the 2x4.
Oh, okay. So there's a plate that stops it where it goes.
Correct.
And the mold that you see is just on the surface?
I guess I haven't explored it much farther than that, but yes.
Okay. And on that wall, where are you seeing the mold, high or low?
High.
High. So right at that top plate area.
Yeah.
You heat this.
It was from condensation or something. Yeah. I don't have any leaks there.
Okay. No, you don't heat this pole barn.
I am, yes. But yeah. I think it went unheated for a long time.
Okay. So it's probably more like a surface thing. Here's what I would do. There's a product called Fog You Mold, okay, which is a spray. It's an atomized spray, but on this area, if you get up, I mean, you're going to have to get up on a ladder. Spray this Fog You Mold on that area, on the mold area. Just hold it and spray it on there. Give it a good shot. And then let that dry. And then take a nylon brush and brush it all away. It's going to kill the mold all the way down to the root of it, right? It's going to crush it. And so then you're going to brush away, as it kills everything, anything away. And then whoever you're going to hire to spray it. Are you going to try and get this done before the end of this year?
Yeah, I'm pretty close now.
Oh, okay.
The next couple of weeks.
Okay. Here's what I'll tell you, too. Even though you heat that pole barn, it's cold on the backside. Use a Ace makes their exterior paint. Their Clark & Kensington exterior paint can be painted down to 35 degrees. And even though you heat this space, I think you might be better off using an exterior grate on the inside in something like this. What do you use this pole barn for?
It's going to be a little shop area. And okay. I'm going to do some heated storage for friends. And stuff.
Yeah. Well, if it's heated, just use a paint and primer in one. The nice thing about the exterior is there's a built-in mildecide inside of it. So in something like a setting like this, especially since you're going to spray it, it might be a better way to go on something like this. And then it helps to, if you have no leaks and you do this and then spray the exterior on this, I think you'll get a lot of added performance out of it.
Okay. Now, you mentioned this Clark & Kensington was a paint and primer in one.
It is.
My painter, the way he quoted it was to do 2 coats of primer, 2 coats of finish.
Is it raw drywall?
Yes.
Well, I mean, if you're just doing white and it's all prepped, you could use this paint and primer in one and do 2 coats and be done. You can use it on raw drywall.
Okay.
And so then you can go to, where are you at? So you got an Ace by you?
Northern Illinois. Yeah, there's a few around here.
Yeah, so you can get it in 5-gallon buckets in white, even if they don't carry it normally. They can order a 5-gallon bucket of white in the exterior, have them spray 1 coat with the white paint and primer, the actual finish as the primer, and then a 2nd coat, and you're done.
Okay, cool.
That'd be my 2 cents.
Excellent.
All right, Justin, I appreciate you calling. Good luck with that project.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. That's the number that Tom and Joliet called. Hey, Tom, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Please help me, save me. I need a either a product or a process that will take care of bed bugs.
Ugh, it's the worst. Okay. This is, it's very difficult. This process takes a long time and it's a lot of work. So where is the problem?
Currently it's in a downstairs bedroom.
Okay. And as far as you know, you don't have any other infestation in the rest of the house?
Not that I'm aware of. There's a possibility though.
Okay. So in that, what have you done so far?
Well, I've used the conventional house sprays, and that didn't seem to take care of it. I wrapped the mattress in plastic, and that didn't take care of it.
All right, so here's what I want you to do. So any and all fabrics or materials that are in that room, take a large garbage bag and put everything inside the garbage bag. Any bedding, any carpet, any drapes, any clothing that might be in any cabinets or anything like that. And then take that for now and seal it in the bag and just put it outside, like in the garage or something, sealed, okay? Then you need to take the mattress off of the bed frame or whatever. What's the floor? Is it carpeted?
Yes.
Okay. So you need to vacuum really well the carpeting, the corners, behind the furniture, all this kind of stuff. But what I don't want you to do, I want you to try and keep it in the room if possible. What else is in there besides the bed frame?
Just typical dressers and bookcases.
Okay. So with the dresser and the shop vac or something you're going to use, you're going to vacuum that whole dresser inside and out, take all the drawers out. Once you inspect the drawers and you see that you've cleaned anything out, then you can take that out of that room. The nice thing is, because it's cooler, even though it's not cold, if you can take that outside, that cold weather is not anything that the bed bugs like. And you're going to remove everything. Then you're going to vacuum everything really well. Then once you have vacuumed it top to bottom, then you're going to use some of these spray. What's the Bonide product, Lindsay? The Bonide product is Bonide bed bug. It's got a funny name. Bonide makes a product called bed bug. Hold on. Bed bug something. It'll come to me. Use their product and apply it everywhere.
Bed bug killer.
Bed bug killer. There you go. Well, there you go. It doesn't get any better than that. It's going to take several treatments, Tom, and then any of the material and the stuff that you put outside in the bag, put it in the washer and wash it in hot. And that mattress, you're going to suck that up with the shop vac as well. You're going to spray that down with the bed bug killer. Then use a mattress cover. What's the one? Protect-a-bed is like a sleeve you can buy. You're going to slip that mattress there and spray it inside there once you put the sleeve up and zip it all up and then kill those bed bugs. And it's a process. It takes a long time. I wish I could tell you that there's an easy fix. There's not. And it wouldn't surprise me, too, when you're done with the carpeting, if you rent like a rug doctor or something like that and do a little rug cleaning as well. And then you should be able to solve this problem. It's not anything as gross as the bed bug thing is. They're everywhere, and you didn't do anything wrong. Everybody's always grossed out, like, oh, I have a dirty house. It's, if you travel or go anywhere, they're everywhere, and they're just really hard to eradicate. So you just got to do your best. You got to buckle down. It's like kids in lice in school.
I was just thinking that.
Right.
And we had a conversation about it. So many people sometimes think, oh, it's because they're have dirty kids, but it just happens to everybody.
Right. There's all these kids, and it's just a thing.
It's not fun.
Oh, it's not fun. It's the worst. Oh. Good morning, everybody. 8:28 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
I like it. You like every boy. What's wrong with that?
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
Help me, Clarence, please.
Hey, look, mister. We save hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast, and we don't need any characters around to get the joint atmosphere. Is that clear?
Lindsay looked right at me when it's like, I'm an old man and nobody really likes me, and that's okay, I don't like them either.
I didn't think you'd catch on to that. All you.
Starting December 6th, that's this coming Wednesday, there is a It's a Wonderful Life pop-up bar at the wonderful Fitzgerald's, the Side Bar. Joining me on the phone line right now is Marcus Reedy, who's the co-founder of the Roosevelt Room. Marcus, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How you doing?
I am ecstatic about this idea because you and I don't know each other, but the Wonderful Life movie is like a monumental piece of my life, and
yeah.
And I am I'm dedicated to it. It's like one of those things that I love, and when I heard this story, I forget how I found it, or maybe I saw it on some social media feed. I think I sent it to Lindsay, and I was literally shaking with excitement.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So tell me, what is the Roosevelt Room?
So the Roosevelt Room is, it's me and two other bartenders who, to be honest, we actually started out trying to open our own bar, at least the idea of it.
Right.
And then we realized we didn't have any money, so that's kind of our way to open
okay.
the bar. And we thought, well, let's start small. Let's just kind of start doing some pop-ups and kind of consulting. And we kind of had dreamt up this idea a couple years ago. Well, last year, we all were sitting around the sidebar one kind of cold December evening, and we were watching the movie. There's nobody in the bar, and it was a slow night, and we all were like, man, we like you, Lou, love this movie.
Right.
All have our own different stories about why we love it and what it means to us, and we all, being bartenders, love that Nick scene. And we just sort of thought, like, well, why don't we do this next year? And we have a relationship with Bill and Kate Fitzgerald. They're wonderful friends of ours. We actually all work at Fitzgerald.
Okay.
And they were very receptive to the idea.
Okay, now just back up a little bit. Fitzgerald's, isn't there some news about Fitzgerald's? Is it changing, or is there something going on with Fitzgerald's that
well,
I read?
I will say it's business as usual right now.
Okay.
I don't want anyone to think otherwise.
Okay. Okay.
And Bill would be upset if I said anything either way.
All right, so it's business as usual. Fitzgerald's is open. They're still, I think anybody in this town knows that the music and the atmosphere and the position of a place like Fitzgerald in this market is unique beyond compare. And I've had a pleasure of being out there several times, seeing some bands and music and. It's a really a part of the fabric of the Chicagoland area.
Yes. So, yeah. I mean, again, it's business as usual. You know, Bill is just kind of looking around. He's ready to retire, looking for the right buyer. But,
got it.
You know, it's not going to go into some.
All right. So the sidebar is a separate location within the Fitzgerald complex, correct?
Yes. It's right across the courtyard from the actual nightclub, the main music venue.
Right. And so you and your buddies have taken a look at this movie and what it all looks like, and you have essentially created like a mini movie set?
A little bit. So the sidebar itself is this very old-feeling room.
Right.
It's got tin ceiling. It's got the beautiful wooden bar. And so it already has that feel to it, like an old bar room feel. So we're going to put up some old Christmas decorations and kind of decorate it to the nines. And we're going to, the bartenders behind the bar, myself and my two other Roosevelt Room colleagues, will be dressed up as Nick with the flannel, the bow tie, and the white apron. And, you know.
Will I be able to order mulled wine?
Yes, you will be able to order mulled wine. In fact, we made gallons of it the other day. We are so ready for it.
Did you have to find out what mulled wine was?
No, actually.
Really?
One of my colleagues, Isaac, who is in the sidebar almost every day behind the bar.
Right.
He's been making mulled wine in the sidebar for a couple of years now, and it's fantastic.
Oh my gosh!
He is one of my.
Is there going to be a large man playing an upright piano?
No, we do have a really old upright piano that would fit perfectly. It doesn't play well. It's missing some keys.
Well, I don't think the piano in that movie played well.
This one plays not well at all. You're probably missing half the octave.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And were you able to locate a cash register that's similar to what is in Nick's?
Yes. There's a man in Norridge who repairs all the old registers throughout Chicago, and he hooked us up great. It's a beautiful old National register. National being the company that made old registers.
Right.
From 1911. It weighs like a ton.
Yeah, right.
I lugged it around. It hurt my back.
Oh, my gosh. Did you get a neon sign made that says Nick's?
Bill Fitzgerald himself is working on that.
Oh, my gosh.
For the
people that don't know any of this, I'm just Marcus and I are just reliving the whole thing because I'm just so excited for it. So here's the thing that I love about this, right? So you guys are sitting around, you're figuring out, why wouldn't it be great to come up with sort of this idea? And then you kind of hatch this idea. You're not quite sure if it's going to be well received. And then you go, maybe we should take some reservations. And you are completely booked for the month of December.
Lou, yes. I mean, we just thought it was going to be us and our friends and families and some of our regulars.
Look at me. I'm giving out wings.
Yeah, right. And then we posted it on a Thursday on Facebook, and by 10 o'clock at night, it had like 4,000 shares and 5,000 people interested. And, you know, it was kind of sobering a little bit because we're like, wow, we really have to.
You hit a nerve. Right, you hit a nerve. And, you know, it's funny, Lindsay and I were talking about this. There have been these other concepts with these pop-up places, sure. Right? Like Lindsay, who's much younger than me, who was a huge fan of Saved by the Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Right? There was some pop-up bar that they go to, right?
Yep, in Wicker Park.
And she said they were wrapped around the corner to try and get into this place.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what that is. I don't know why. I mean, people are looking right now to...
You know what you need to do? This is what I want. For my... I would love to recreate Central Perk from Friends.
Oh,
yeah.
David wants, my husband wants Seinfeld,
the coffee shop.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're just fun.
That's great.
They're great pictures, too.
So Bill at Fitzgerald's was super receptive to this and said, sure, you guys, go ahead and do this and see what happens.
Yeah, and I think it was kind of a throwaway because we just weren't really sure what it was going to be, and then I kind of had to come back and say to them, like, uh-oh, this got a little bigger than we thought it was going to be.
But are we going to have a big no-neck guy dressed up like the bouncer in a tuxedo?
We'll have somebody there if you get control, Lou.
And if possible, if people get out of hand, will you throw them out the front door?
I will be delighted.
I love this!
I know you're sold out, but are there any chance, I mean, if people cancel, or what do you have like a waiting list if people did want to maybe go on that if they cancel the reservation?
We don't actually. No, we're hoping that all 80 people show up, all, you know, the people of Bedford Falls pulled through for Coach Bailey. We're hoping they all show up, and mm-hmm. you know, we have some... I'm sure.
Okay, I think what you got to do, I know it's getting close, but see, so here's the little things that take some notes.
Okay.
You need some kind of fake insurance policy that you can hand to somebody sitting at the bar, like they can take out of their breast pocket, you know, because that's the scene where he's looking at the insurance policy, right? You need a guy dressed up like what's the teacher's?
Gower, Mr.
No, not Mr. Gower. Well, you need Mr. Gower, but who's the guy, the husband of the teacher that he yells at that punches him in the face?
Right.
I'm letting myself down. He yells at the teacher for sending Zuzu home. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, half naked, right.
Half naked, and then he punches him right there. So,
yeah.
I mean, we don't want to get in a lot of fights here.
No,
we don't want the Berwyn police to show up. But... I think you could totally get like guys that are actors or look like this to help out. And I bet if we wanted to find you a piano player, somebody would come there and play the piano.
Well, we'll have some piano actually after the movie for one of the nights.
That's awesome.
Piano player.
I think this is just a great idea.
Yeah, and then we'll be playing on our.
Well, please make sure that you take a lot of pictures and post them for people that can't come, because I think everybody's going to be super interested in seeing all this.
yes, we will absolutely do that. We're so glad, thankful that all the people have been very receptive for it, and I am very, very excited.
Marcus Reedy is the co-founder of the Roosevelt Room. He and two of his buddies came up with this concept of It's a Wonderful Life pop-up bar. It's going to be at Fitzgerald's Sidebar. I know it's crazy that I'm talking about this completely sold out, but I just thought it's great, a great idea, and I just wanted to let people know about it. And hopefully you'll post pictures and post them. Is there a Fitzgerald's website or something like that that maybe you could post stuff at?
Yeah, it's fitzgeraldsnightclub.com. Also on our Facebook page, we'll have a bunch of stuff posted too.
All right, you got it. Marcus, thanks so much for taking the time, and good luck.
Yeah, thank you guys. Take care.
Appreciate it. That's awesome.
You know, and for those who can't go even, I love a good theme party.
Oh, yeah.
It'd always be fun to kind of get, even just listening to Marcus, you know, think to myself, ooh, you know, I'm hosting Christmas Eve this year, so maybe we could even do some little, you know, It's a Wonderful Life things here and there just to
make
it. You know, if you can't make
you
it yourself,
could have your. So maybe what you do is have somebody dress up like Mr. Gower and somebody throw you, you have David throw them out of the house.
Well, you know, that just might happen
anyway. Merry Christmas! I think it's awesome. I'm so excited about that. That's cool. And actually, we are able to go. So the Manfredinis are going to one of the nights, which is good. I'm
You're
super
have
excited.
Post some pictures.
I will definitely post some pictures. I am going to drink some mull wine. And I think George drinks bourbon. Right? He has a bourbon, just a cup of bourbon or whiskey or something like that. Right?
I posted something when I got this on the website, on Facebook. Somebody, I think Quinn sent it to me, your son.
Yeah, it was Quinn. And that's where we found this out from, my son Quinn. That's right.
I liked it and it showed up on my feed. And, you know, my friend, my husband's friend, Corey, who I know you have never met him, but
Peace?
He's your favorite friend.
He's my favorite friend I've never met of David's.
That's a whole other story. But he lives up in Green Bay, and he's like, "Oh my God, I would come down to this."
Oh my gosh, I'm sure that what happened. I should have asked him this, but I'm sure that when they thought this, we'll just do it on Wednesday nights. They could have done this three nights a week, and I bet they would have filled the place.
Right.
And the thing is, it's like a work in progress, right? There's little details, and that's the thing that people look for is the little details. It's sort of like we went to Universal Studio with the kids last year. And they have that whole Harry Potter thing. Now, I'm not a Harry Potter guy, but and Quinn and Carmen really are. And I started sending them pictures. They were going nuts because the attention to detail that they put in there, oh my gosh, that's the chandelier of whatever, which I don't even know what it means.
Right.
And so that little thing, like little things like the insurance policy. Oh, you want to put the insurance policy in your pocket while you're ordering that bourbon? That's the thing, right?
I think this is going to be a yearly thing.
Mr. Wentz.
Mr. Wentz.
Is that his name?
I don't know. I didn't even get any texts. I thought for sure
Mrs.
that
Mrs. Wentz. Mr. Wentz. Mrs. Wentz. I think that's her name. The teacher. So you need that guy. You need those guys dressed like that. The bouncer, remember, he's got like no neck. He's like, hey, you know, you need just to get stand there in a tuxedo. And you need that big heavyset guy going, dun, 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 dun.
Now I want to go home and watch it.
I know.
By
I
the
know.
Fire.
All right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I'm sorry. I'm digressing, but I just really love that whole theory. Barbara's in Skokie, and she's cold.
Yeah, but it's not a pantyhose situation.
Why did I tell that story?
Have
you worn pantyhose in the wintertime? Is it warmer? Is it warmer as a woman?
Well, you don't wear pantyhose. You wear tights.
Well, I know, but the problem was but the point is that the warrior that I was dressed as, they didn't have tights during the warrior things. They wore bare legs.
I'm so sorry.
Right.
I know.
I'm sorry for telling the story. So how can I help you?
So, thanks for the laugh. I am having a cold problem in the house. Back in the May of 2016, I had a new roof put on. It was a tear off. They removed the chimney because we're sidewall venting, and they removed a skylight. And during all of that winter, it seemed like my roof was functioning properly. So, you know, the snow didn't melt within a minute and that kind of thing.
Okay.
Then I put new windows on in March of 2017.
Okay.
And then I put new eaves. I went to Lindholm like you recommended. Thank you. So we put new fascia soffits and gutters on. And so this fall when the weather dropped, you know.
Yeah.
And we had our snow. The snow melted off the roof almost immediately.
Wait. Was there a snowstorm in Skokie that I didn't know about?
Sure there was. We had snow on the roof. I posted it on my Facebook.
But it didn't snow that much. There was no accumulation.
There was snow on the roof, and you could tell that my neighbors, who also had snow, their roof, the snow on their roof did not melt as quickly as mine.
Okay.
And so I'm confused at what to do.
So, let me ask you this. What is ultimately your question?
Well, my question is, it's cold in the house. It is 68 degrees at the windows that are brand new. It is cold. You can feel...
Like it's drafty?
Yeah. Okay. But I cannot... I've taken a punk, and we put new doors, new windows, and it's only in the front of the house. I have an L-shaped ranch built in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only sense a temperature change in the front of the house. In the back of the house where the new windows and new doors are, it's warmer than it's ever been.
Okay. And the front of the house has new windows and doors too?
Yep.
Okay. And the furnace is in the basement, and is it closer to the rear of the home?
Closer to the rear of the home, but that situation has not changed.
Okay. So a couple things. The snow melting, because it was such a light snow, could be more atmospheric than anything else. The color of your roof, where your house is, that kind of accumulation, because it was so light, that could have melted, you know, just because of whatever. Not necessarily based on everything that you're saying. Everything seems right and tight. Now, the single best thing you can do is add more insulation to an attic space, which will overall warm up your home. But in
we've
the area,
already done that though. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then what you may want to try doing is balancing or rebalancing your furnace. So you're saying
the furnace guys say they can't because of the type of high efficiency controller that they have on it.
Well, you have forced air, correct?
Forced air with a carrier.
And you have vents in the floor of the first floor?
Yes, and they rerouted, when we redid this in 2009 when I moved in, we rerouted all of the vents from the inside to the outside because it used to be a gravity flow.
Got it. So the front of the house is colder than the rear. So what I want you to do is go to the rear area of the home. And where is the thermostat?
You're going to hate this. The thermostat is located in the only place that it can be located, and it's not in very good location. It is in the center of the house. It is 6 inches from the main room area of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a proper height. And it is located within a narrow hallway, but right above it is the air return.
Right.
That's the ceiling.
A lousy location.
Yeah.
So here's how you're going to fix this problem. One, the location of that thermostat is in the wrong spot.
It can't be moved any place else.
Well, it can be moved. It can be moved anywhere.
Go ahead.
No, it's okay. You and I can disagree, Barbara. But I could put that thermostat, if I ran the right wire, right next to your front door if I wanted to. So anybody that tells you that it can't be moved is not telling you the truth. It can be put anywhere in the house.
With the
correct wire sent to it. So the location of that thermostat is registering the temperature of the home in the wrong spot, and it's not taking into account the temperature in the front. So with that carrier system, they have this new system called a core that they could put on that has room sensors that they can put on. Yeah. And it can sense the temperature in the front of the house to run the system more often to heat that space. But what you want to start with is in the back part of the house that's warm and comfortable, I want you to close all of those vents 50%. And by doing that, it's going to force more heat into the front of the house. The closest vent that is near that thermostat in the hallway, if you're not going to move that, you need to close that one probably 80%. Because that thermostat's registering the temperature and it's not giving you the overall comfort in the home. And by balancing that system out, you can get it just right that even when you go into cooling, it should be able to work as well and keep it consistently comfortable with the new windows and the doors. And you said you added insulation. That's all there. It's just that this system is not operating at peak efficiency. Thank you so much for the phone call.
What pesky problems around the house are bugging you?
Our dishwasher smells.
Now's the time to call.
I spilled red wine on a white leather couch.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show right here on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
I've got no roots, but my home was never on the ground. I've got no roots, but my home was never on the ground.
You know how I know the music's good? I get Domati to move. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Lightkeeper Pro and by Dykstra Home Services. This is a debut album from Alice Melton. You heard the song before, Domati?
This is my first time hearing this. I love it.
It's a good one. Check it out.
We get all of our music tips from you, Lou.
I know. And this did not come from one of my teenagers. This came from me.
No.
Yep.
Where?
I was listening to WXRT.
Oh, really?
It's research. I'm doing research.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you're driving around? I mean, look, I am a talk radio guy. But, and Domati, you report this news all the time. But sometimes you just need a break from all the news and the talk. And one of the things that concerns me about the climate that we're in right now is that, you know, we talk a lot about the same thing over and over again.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean? And the stories and me. And sometimes you just need a break.
You can't take too big a break, though, because then you come in saying the Cook County beverage tax
was yesterday, right?
Yeah,
no, I hear you. And I don't. I'm just doing research. I want to know what the competition's doing. And what I've decided is the only radio station you should be listening to is WGN Radio. Yeah, just making sure. I was making sure that nothing else was better out there, and I've done the research for you, and you need to trust me. Just stay right here.
Good work.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. You and Lindsay Domati coming up in a little bit. You're going to have to double down because we're down one drinker this morning. So I hope that's okay when we do our Binnie's wine tasting. That I'm going to put a little more pressure on you. Your opinion this morning is going to matter even more. So instead of you know, normally you the three of you were, you know, 33%, right, of the decision-making process. Now you're in for an even 50. A lot of pressure. So hope you're up for the challenge. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. All right. Joanne.
Hi.
You've been hanging on since yesterday. When I'm done, I'm gonna make you hang. I'm going to ask you to hang on a little longer because I'm going to give you a $50 gift certificate to Binnie's Beverage Depot.
Oh, thank you so much.
So how can I help you?
Okay, we have a microwave over the stove, and the vent pushes cold air through, even though it's closed. Now, you had recommended once that we use a Tamtec damper thing.
Yep.
And we looked it up. The only thing is it says that if you're going to use it for your kitchen vent, you've got to inspect it every week and clean it. Well, where we would put it, there's no way that we could, you know, dismantle the pipe and take it out and inspect it. So I was wondering if you had a different solution.
It says you have to inspect it every week?
If you use it on the kitchen exhaust, yeah. If it was, like a bathroom or something else, but I looked at so I was a little disappointed in that. So I never
knew that it said that.
It's in the fine print, you know.
Yeah. Okay, hold on a minute. You have an exhaust, microwave hood exhaust, and it goes when you open. So the cabinet above, what does it do? Does it go up and immediately out?
Yes.
So it doesn't run.
The wall that it's on is right next to the garage, so the pipe goes out into the garage and up onto the roof of the garage.
Oh, the pipe does go out into the garage.
Yes, right. But it's obviously it's all closed, but it vents up on top of the roof.
Right. But do you see the pipe in the garage?
You do.
Okay. Garage is unheated.
Correct. And my husband even tried insulating that pipe, thinking that maybe if it was a little insulated, the air wouldn't be as cold.
Yeah, so I was going to say, insulate the pipe. What's key? I'm not worried about the inspection thing. Okay. In particular, I know what they're worried about is the grease and stuff.
Right. The buildup. Mm-hmm.
But here's what I would do. I would put that damper right where it comes out of the garage. You know, so it comes out horizontally, right?
Yes.
And then
yes.
And then it turns up.
Exactly.
Okay. So how long is that horizontal run when it comes into the garage?
I'll tell you right now.
6 inches, a foot.
A little less, probably. Yeah, it's more of a curve. Yes.
Put it there.
Okay.
Don't worry about inspecting it. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you're not gonna sit there and blow. I mean, you're using it when you're cooking. You have a filter, a screen, you know, in the in the thing. So yeah, while a little bit of, you know, oil or grease is going to get up in there, it can be used for this. I remember when these guys showed me this, they never told me about this inspection. I think that's just for like lawyers. I mean, it's an inexpensive thing to try that I think will make a huge difference. For those that don't know what we're talking about, this company Tamtec makes this unique bladder. It's a pipe, different sizes. Imagine a 6-inch pipe. You're going to use probably a 4-inch. And there's a rubber bladder that is affixed to the one side that collapses when the air is not blowing through it. So it's sort of like a duck's bill that just sort of closes. So then if the air comes back at it, it can't get through that because it's resting on the bottom of the pipe. And then when the fan kicks on, it blows open and the air goes out there and it kind of flutters a little bit and then it closes again. I would not worry about inspecting it. The one thing I would say is that filter that's on the exhaust fan of your microwave that you never clean.
Keep it clean.
Yeah. Take it out. It just unclips. And then once a month, throw it in the dishwasher. That's all you got to do. Just put it in the rack of the dishwasher, wipe the thing out, and that's it.
Okay.
Hold on a minute. I'm going to get you a Binny's Beverage Depot gift certificate, and we'll send that out to you. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Jerry is in Island Lake. Jerry, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Did you just say you need another wine taster?
How quick can you get here, Jerry?
I probably can't.
All right, well, I would have invited you in had you been able to make it. How can I help you, sir?
garage door opener. The light that's on the external light bulb that's on the garage door opener does not turn on when the door opens and closes. The light bulb is good.
Okay.
And when you push the button on the wall to turn on the light, you can hear it click. You can hear the relay in the opener. Is there something inside that opener? Is there a reset or is there...
How long has this been going on?
Well, I've recently moved into the area, so I've been in this house a year. It's a rental, so I don't want to get too crazy.
Got it.
So it's been a year.
So it hasn't worked since day one?
Not the light, no.
Not the light. Huh. And there's only one light, one bulb?
One bulb, yes.
And you've tested the light bulb and it works. Okay, so there's not a reset for the light. Here's a couple things that I would try. Unplug the opener with the lights, with the light socket out. Take a look at the tab, you know, that hits the contact of the tip of the bulb.
Right.
And see if that, and if you can, because it's unplugged now, right? You're going to reach in there with a little screwdriver and kind of bend that up a little bit to make contact with the bulb.
Right.
And then screw the bulb in and then replug it in. The internal you know, depending on the age of this, do you have two eyes that look at the door?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a newer opener. Right. By unplugging it, you'll do any reset that's in there. There shouldn't be anything for the light that would be there, a fuse. I mean, there might be, but when you pop open, there's a cover on the light, right?
Yes.
Any of that would be right there if you see a place where there's a reset button or a fuse that might be there that you unscrew. It's possible, depending on the opener, that there's one there, but I doubt it. And if there is, it could be like a little automotive, you know, 5 or 10 amp fuse that you could, you know, unscrew and then put a new one in there and go. But try the tab thing, unplug it, put the bulb back in and see.
Okay. All right. Great.
Appreciate you calling this morning. 9:18 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Now back to your host, your go-to handyman, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Get a trumpet
staker. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini here with you, your home improvement sommelier. Huh? You like that? It's time now for our Binney's Beverage Depot wine tasting. This is a collection of wines that Binney's sends over for us to try, and with these great descriptors. And this morning, my two wine tasters are. We need an intern, by the way. When are we going to get an intern? Look at, she's not, oh, broken glass.
And I'm drinking for two, so.
Yeah, right, so make sure, yeah. Just come on over. It's fine. You're fine. Relax. Would you like me to do that? Nope. Okay, she's opening up the, there you go, the bubbly. She's very excited about the bubbly. This is actually, what she's pouring right now is called the Fawcett Prosecco, which Prosecco is really a good one. It's Fossetta Prosecco NV. The NV, it's an excellent option for your New Year's toasts or even brunches. It's light on its feet with bright citrus, stone fruit, and green apple aromas. Mm. You got, ooh, you like that? You got any of that? You smelling any of that? That's the thing I think. So you should be smelling citrus tones, stone fruit, I don't know what that is, green apple aromas. Lindsay doesn't even smell it. She just drinks it.
Ooh, that is very light
and
smooth going down. You know, sometimes you have that bubbly and it gets a little.
How much do you think that bottle is?
$19.99.
$17.99.
$10.99.
Really? Wow. What is it called again?
It's called Fossetta Prosecco NV.
So I was going to make fun of the fact that it was light on its feet, but after you taste it, it makes sense.
Right?
I feel lighter on my feet.
I do.
Well, it's because you're drinking. So that's really good. And that's, you know, I think that the tough part with champagne is, or in a Prosecco, is that you get intimidated by it and you feel like, oh, I have to buy a $50 bottle. You know, it's Christmas or it's New Year's Eve. I need a really expensive bottle. But if it tastes good.
Sometimes, I mean, when I've experienced Proseccos before, it's either really sweet.
Yeah, too sweet.
Too sweet, or it kind of almost burns your nose going down a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, too bubbly.
This is very.
Are you a champagne drinker, Domati?
Not really.
Not really, no? But really. You like this.
I need to celebrate more.
Well, this is sparkling
I do
wine.
Like this.
This is not champagne.
This is sparkling wine.
Yes.
It's
okay.
Sparkling wine, right.
Okay. Difference.
All right. The next one is you're going to go for the Cabernet. This is the Cuvier Los Andres Cabernet Sauvignon 2014.
Cheers.
Wait, hold on. Score. Easy. Argentina is often forgotten about the price. She just wants to drink. We're trying to give the experience here. Argentina is the forgotten area about varieties of the other than Malbec. This cab is an absolute steal for the price. Balanced structure with ripe, lush mid-palate. A perfect reminder how great cab performs in Argentina. What do you think? I know you're not a big red drinker.
It's good. I'm not a big red drinker.
My wife is a big cab drinker. Rich?
Yes.
Like mahogany. Full-bodied?
Yes.
That's what she likes is a full-body cab. Only $19.99.
Really?
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Like this one. This is nice.
You like that?
Mm-hmm.
You're a red wine drinker?
I'm a red wine drinker.
Yeah.
I like red wine.
Yeah.
This is really good.
I like that too.
It has a fresh, the smell. I've never smelled a cab.
My wife already texted me, bring the cab home.
That's yours. Mrs. Lou, you got it.
Yeah, she's got it. All right. And then finally, we have the Argyle Pinot Noir 2015. This Reserve Pinot Noir is truly a celebration of balance sourced from the vineyards of volcanic red soils. Contribute to this, here you go, red cherry, rose mallow, and grilled meats.
That sounds disgusting.
Okay. That's not what we're going for. We want
Vinny's. I'm a vegetarian, though, so that wouldn't appeal
to me. We would like Vinny's to come back next week.
But for most people, or a lot of people.
The tannins are firmed, but rounded. The underlying minerality, which drives the mid-palate through the long finish.
I don't taste any meat. Just goodness. I like this. I think the Pinot Noir.
I don't taste any meat.
It doesn't smell like a skirt steak.
No.
Not as advertised.
How about the Encore Salisbury steak? Does it smell like that? We're tasting more an Encore. Right, no, right. Nothing that.
No.
I was surprised when I poured it. It's a lot lighter. Comparison to the Cabernet.
The cab's dark.
Is that normal? I mean, this just seems. I mean, it's almost.
This is a fancy cab, though.
The cab you have is a good cab.
I think
but $19.99 for the cab is a pretty good deal. And the Pinot Noir is $19.99 as well.
But,
so
I mean, I can see you through it through the glass. I mean, it's what's that called?
It really
translucent.
Is.
Translucent, right. You can find all these wines at binnies.com in case you didn't catch the names on the air, or you can always call the Binny Wine Hotline, which is at 866-975-6188. Your personal sommelier is a phone call away. Don't forget also, too, about the Binny's Barrel to Bottle podcast, which is hosted by Kristen Ellis, Binny's wine expert, and WGN Radio's Jeff Carlin. You can download the Barrel to Bottle today and learn more about wines, beers, spirits to serve this holiday season and much more. Just search Binny's at WGNRadio.com, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or iTunes to subscribe. And Binny's has been your holiday headquarters since 1948.
So if you're hosting this year, you and I were talking about this yesterday. If you're hosting this year, definitely check these out. These are great ideas to bring or serve at your parties. This Prosecco, I will for sure have some of.
Take that home.
Yeah, I'll take it. Oh, I don't think it'll be good by then. But.
Right, no. And also, Lindsay will put pictures up on my Facebook page as well with links also. Thank you for tasting. It's a 9:30 in the morning. We'll get to news right after this. Look
what you made me do. Hey, Lou, I wasn't paying attention, and I got super glue all over our dining room table. Look what you made
me do. The refrigerator is always getting dirty. I get a fingerprint on it, and I get yelled at.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show.
It's usually true that when you just ignore problems, they just get better.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just
made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you makes me giggle. 9:37 in the morning. I'm just going to take more of your phone calls because I want to get through all of this and help you people as much as I can, like John, who's in Park Ridge. John, look what you made me do. How can I help you?
Actually, it's Liz, wife of John.
Hi, Liz. Look what you made me do.
Hi, yes. So we are replacing four windows. And we've had a couple of people come out, and we've kind of come down to the debate of fiberglass versus composite wood, and we can't really make a decision because they're both around the same price. So we weren't sure if you had an opinion or were leaning one way or the other. We had some expertise in the area.
Yeah, so I do have some expertise in the area, and the thing is, in my opinion, the fiberglass window, the composites that do not have any wood in them are a better choice.
Okay, so not the half wood, half vinyl composites, that because that's the one that we were being kind of shown, is the wood vinyl composite.
Did you call my friends at Gilkey?
We may have, yes.
Okay. So there you can be honest. I mean, it doesn't matter.
No, we did. I just didn't want to throw any name, you know.
No. You can throw all the names in the world that you want. that's fine. I mean, look, I'm working with Gilkey promoting the products that they have, but I'm always going to give you my honest opinion on this. In the realm of how I view windows, okay, in the good, better, best, it's always been vinyl, composite, wood with aluminum cladding. The problem with my kind of that role that I've taken is that the technology that's now out there with the composite windows, in particular mm-hmm. in the climate that we live in, the line is getting blurred because they're so durable. And so
okay.
I kind of now put the composites and the wood with the vinyl, or excuse me, wood with the aluminum on the out there, sort of on par with each other. And they're, quite honestly, price-wise, they're consistent. You know, I mean, they're pretty close. The one thing is that if you're going for these kind of low maintenance, remember, there's no such thing yeah. as no, but they're low.
Right.
When you have a thing like a fiberglass window where it's 100% extruded and put together like that, it's just super resilient to the weather. And it's okay. very tough and it's very durable. So, you know, depending on your style of your home, you know, some people know I want the real wood because I'm going to stain it. Well, now they solve that problem because you can even get, wood applied to the inside so you can stain it. But the okay. frame and the exterior and the holding of the whole window is this really tough fiberglass that's just super durable in our climate.
Right. That did seem to stick out as the most durable. And we're kind of leaning towards that. But, you know, at the same time, I wasn't sure, like, what is the best way to make your decision when you have the prices that are so similar and they both seem to be a good product.
Right.
They both seem to be pretty durable. Is it more about what you like that looks the best, I guess?
I think that there's a bunch of factors. Is the style and the look, the accessories, because they all seem to, you know, offer a little bit different. Like, oh, this is how we do our divided light, or this is the, what our hardware looks like. You know, those are the little right. things, right? Like when you decide on a, maybe you're going to buy a car, right? And you're trying to decide between the, you know, this trim level or the next trim level, and maybe there's a little bit of a price difference. But the ultimate thing that's super important with all of this is the installation.
Okay.
And so all of these products are only as good as the people that are installing them. So what I would offer to you to help you make the decision is both these companies or the three companies, whomever it is you're speaking with,
mm-hmm.
ask them for some references and take the time to call. And in particular, when you ask about the references, say, can you give me the name of somebody you did 5 years ago? That's
okay.
the person you're interested in talking to. And as
right.
we're, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to talk to strangers. I don't want to. But I mean, if somebody's really happy with the product and they, you know, like the best piece of it, of recommendation I could get from somebody to say, oh, I hired, so-and-so window company 5 years ago and they did a really nice job. We had this one problem with the window, but then they came out and they fixed it all. That's like a glowing
right.
thing because nothing's perfect and things break. And, you know, and so how a company stands behind what it is they put in, you know, down the line is more important mm-hmm. to me than anything else.
Okay, well, that makes sense. So basically, yeah, installation, warranty, and then just references.
Correct. And
okay.
brand does matter. Okay.
Right.
So
well, Marvin is the one that we were interested in, I believe. That's
yeah.
a pretty popular brand.
I mean, the Marvin Integrity, you're probably looking at the Integrity or the Infinity
yeah,
line.
That's the one.
Is very nice. That brand does matter. But I will tell you that other companies have technology that is the other companies that you're probably looking at that I can guess, their technology mm-hmm. is similar.
Okay.
In some cases, some would argue better, but you're getting, you just want to make sure you're pairing apples to apples, and the installation and how they back the thing up down the line is important.
Okay.
All right.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200. That's the number that Barbara in Geneva called. Hi, Barbara. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two questions. One, I'm redoing my house to get ready for sale in about a year or so, but there's a ceiling that my son stepped in. It's got to be at least 5 years. That's above my or below my attic, so there's a crack in the ceiling. Is this something I can repair myself, or should I have somebody out to do it?
When he stepped in the ceiling, he didn't come through it. He just cracked it.
He just cracked it. I caught him. Like, we were doing the 2x4 walking along, and he happened to step in it.
Got it. Okay, yes, it absolutely is something you could patch yourself. I mean, have you ever done this before?
Well, I've done patching, yeah.
Oh, okay. So how big is the crack? How wide is the crack?
It's like a, it's about a hairline.
Oh,
crack.
All right. Well, then I would just, okay. So what I would do in that case, and how long has that crack been there?
It's about 5 years.
Oh, okay. So I would get up on a ladder. I would just use some lightweight spackle.
Okay.
And I would just put it in there, and work it with a putty knife, nice and smooth. Don't overdo it.
Okay.
Lightly sand it. And once it holds and it looks good, you could probably touch up the ceiling if you have any ceiling paint because it's flat paint.
Yeah, I have that.
And so you could probably touch it up and it would blend in. You wouldn't even know it. If you touch it up and if you touch it up because it's flat and you're looking at it from below. But if you do it and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I can really see where I painted, you may need to paint the whole ceiling.
Okay.
But well, but that's easy to do. Try what the first part of that I told you about, and then you'll probably get away with it pretty easily. Thanks so much for the phone call. 9:45 in the morning. 9:51 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Ellen in Hoffman Estates. Ellen, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
Well, I had my bathrooms remodeled. My master bath and my hall bath back up to each other. And I'm having a problem when the hall bathroom toilet is flush, the master bathroom toilet, the water oftentimes will go up and then go down and leave very little water in the bowl. My contractor thinks that possibly there's roots in the sewer line and we need to be rotted. But I didn't have this problem before the bathrooms were remodeled.
What floor are the bathrooms on?
Second floor.
Second floor. And it happens every time?
Every time the hall bath.
When did this happen?
After the remodeling job was done.
Yeah. When was that?
It's been less than a year.
Okay.
About a year.
There's something clogged in the pipe.
Okay.
Right at the Y or the T, where the two things feed into the main line. I mean, let's think about this. You're on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
If you wake up in the morning and no one has used the toilet at all or in the bathroom or anything, does it happen then? First thing in the morning?
Well, if it was used the night before, the water is already low in the bowl.
It was used the night before. Okay.
In the master. Yeah.
So the fact that you're on a second floor, okay, if there were roots in the pipe, which in the line, which it could possibly be the case, but that's all the way down, not only in the first floor, but you have a basement, right?
I do, and I have a lower level bathroom that was remodeled also, and I'm not having any issues with that.
Right, so my point is this. If there are roots, the roots are a long way away from that bathroom. So if I flush those toilets, if I disconnected your house from the sewer line right at the house, right at the foundation line, I could flush your toilets on the second floor probably two times before I would fill up those pipes. So that backup that you're getting, there's some clog in that main stack. Something is caught between where the two toilets back up and go down. It could be a rag or something that got stuck there. And it's just enough that when the when the water flushes from the toilet, it won't allow it to go down fast enough. So the toilet needs to get pulled, and it needs to get rotted. And whoever is going to rot it, we have to make sure that the rod goes down the sewer line, not up the vent.
Okay.
Did you write all that down?
I am writing as you're talking.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Pull the toilets, rot them, rot down. It's not roots in the pipes because it's on the second floor. Mm-hmm. It's at the point where they both meet and goes down the wall. There's something in that pipe.
Okay.
Capiche? You do that, and I think you'll fix the problem. Thank you so much for the phone call. Just bumping up against time, 9:54 in the morning. Time for Lou's Last Call, sponsored by Townstone Financial. See, our last caller is Mitch in McHenry. Mitch, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. I'm going to be recarpeting my upstairs after the holidays.
Okay.
And I was wondering, how do you find a good contractor or carpet place to do this? And then what can you anticipate on moving furniture? I have some of this funky furniture that goes together with hexagon wrenches,
right.
And it has to be moved delicately, or you know, you have to put some thought into it.
Right. Well, here's what I'll tell you is that, you know, with a lot of these big carpet companies, the big ones out there, you know, where they got all these deals like get one room free and whatever. I mean, they're all just
right.
big marketing companies that the carpeting that they sell is good. And the installers that they have are independent installers. But if you find a local carpet installer, you're up in McHenry, right? So, and I don't have a
right.
specific name for you, but find that local person that's been in that community. They will move some of the furniture, but depending on the size of the rooms, I mean, some of it just has to get out of the way, because ultimately when they go to seam it and stretch it, it's hard to do with a lot of furniture on top. You know what I mean? So that's the kind of thing you're going to have to move some of it, but they will move it all. And then the thing when it comes to choosing those carpets, you got to make sure that it's good quality stuff. Don't chintz out on it, because the better quality stuff will wear better. It'll be more durable. It's going to look a lot nicer. And ultimately, it's going... What? Yeah, it's ultimately going to be... just a nicer looking finished product. Thanks so much for the phone call. Thank you all for listening. Thanks, Domati, for doing the news, and Lindsay for producing, Bob for pushing the buttons, and thank you, Amy Guth and Jen Bosworth, for showing up. Hello, ladies.
Hey, how's it going, Lou?
Great. I'm great. Yeah, John Williams, I guess, is just a part-timer now, and, you know, sooner or later, when you continue not to show up, you know what happens? You get replaced.
Oh, no. Well.
And, Amy, I don't think, Jen, I don't think you two need any more to do you?
Right. We've got plenty to do, but hey, we're always happy to be here.
We're
always
happy to be here together.
Good. That's great. What do you got coming up?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the supermoon, of course, because that's coming up, this big, crazy moon. And people have already been tweeting about it, about how cool the moon is.
Oh, I saw it this morning.
Yeah.
It looked beautiful.
It's so gorgeous.
It stops you in your tracks when you see it.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. So we're going to be talking about that, but also a little more of the conversation we had last time we were here, all about how to really take care of your emotions during the holidays.
Awesome. All right. Have a great show.